Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Christ, the Good Shepherd, has given his life on behalf of his own sheep. He has given it on behalf of you. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. He is the Good Shepherd of the Holy Scriptures. Think of Psalm 23. Think of Ezekiel 34. The Good Shepherd commits no sin. The Good Shepherd has no deceit found in his mouth. The Good Shepherd suffered, was reviled, received threats, yet still committed himself to him who judges righteously, even God our Father. Christ, the Good Shepherd, has given his life on behalf of you, his own sheep. The man Jesus is the great I Am of the Holy Scriptures. Think of Exodus 3. What was Moses doing when the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the burning bush? Moses had been called to help tend the flocks of Jethro. And then Moses would go on to shepherd all the Israelites as an under-shepherd of the angel of the Lord, as God's instrument to deliver the people to safety, away from the clutches of Pharaoh and all those Egyptian wolves. When Jesus says, "I am the Good Shepherd," the Good Shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Jesus is indeed foretelling and promising his own crucifixion. True God, going to be the shepherd who lays down his life on the cross. It's very clear, actually. Jesus, the great I Am, the Good Shepherd, is going to give himself up for his flock so that one shepherd will tend the one flock, his church. That's you. Christ, the Good Shepherd, has given his life on behalf of his own sheep, on behalf of you, because you are his own. And to say his own is not like saying you are his possession or his property. It's something far more personal and particular. You are Christ's own because he loves you, because he is your source, because you receive salvation, saving from the Good Shepherd who protects you, and he gives you comfort. He gives you life. In contrast, the hireling is described as one who does not own the sheep. The Greek word that Jesus uses is not a verb like "I own you" or "I own this book." The word is an adjective, like saying "my own friends" or maybe "my own children." Jesus is explaining that the hireling lacks a certain fondness or compassion for the sheep. That same fondness is something that the Good Shepherd himself does have, but the hireling lacks. This fondness is something like a parent's visceral urge to share something good with his own children. And it is not that the hireling sees the wolf and leaves the sheep, as in just goes away and abandons them. It's worse than that. As Jesus describes it, the hireling sees the wolf and intentionally releases the sheep out of their pen. It's let loose. He makes them easy picking for the wolf, you might say. Now the sheep are in disarray and disorder, baying for help, and the hireling forgoes his role for maintaining good order and yet stays to watch the chaos ensue and then flees. Such utter apathy and unbelief on the hireling part means that he really has no part in the sheep pen in the first place. The hireling doesn't own the place, so he's going to stick it to the Good Shepherd. For all the hireling understands is really just that the shepherd owns, the sheep as a possession. The people hearing Jesus say these words were the Pharisees and the Jews. Now, you might think that the Pharisees and the Jews were a little like the hireling, too. After all, they've spent all this time taking care of the sheep pen. They begin to feel a little bit like it's theirs, their possession, like they own it. And so when Jesus comes along, what can they do except view the sheep in terms of collateral rather than in terms of a shepherd loving his own sheep with clear guidance, structure, protection in the sheep pen? The Pharisees think it's all about possessions and control. They think Jesus is a king, and that's why they're saying he's not their king. They think he's a king who's come to take power. Well, Jesus is a king, but he's the king of love. And Jesus makes it very clear that he has come to lay down his life for the sheep as a king who goes out to battle first. Jesus is here for love of his own people. He's here to give his own people what they need. Now, you are Christ's own sheep. You are the good shepherd's own sheep. And if you've ever seen a shepherd do their work, sheep need their shepherd to push them away from danger, to show them where they cannot go and tell them when they should not be there, and to give guidance and structure to them. That's why shepherds have the big shepherd's staff, curved to hook the sheep and bring them back. When it seems like the whole flock is running towards a cliff without a plan, the shepherd lovingly redirects each one away from falling away into death. But see, the good shepherd does something far beyond this, far beyond what an earthly shepherd can do. An earthly shepherd does not actually give his life up for the sheep. He has got a wife and kids to take care of, bills to pay, a house to repair. He's not going to die just to save one sheep. Maybe he would fight the wolf, but it's nothing like an earthly shepherd would do. What Christ does as a good shepherd is far beyond that. He actually dies in your place to defend you from the wolf. He gives himself up for his own, somebody he's fond for, somebody he has compassion on. Now, that's more like what a husband would do for a bride or a father for children. For while you are the Lord's own sheep, you have much more worth to him than sheep do just to a shepherd. Even though the bride of Christ walks through the valley of the shadow of death, she, you, fears no evil. For the rod and staff of the good shepherd provide protection and thus comfort. For the good shepherd's under shepherds deliver his body and blood to them. Because of his willingness and indeed action to lay down his life for his bride, she lacks nothing. She does not want. She can lie down safely in green pastures with a restored soul. She has the eternal life of pleasant providence given by Christ's body and blood. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The Hebrew word for follow is something very close to the word persecute, chase, search after. The good shepherd searches after you. He wants to give you the resurrection that he himself has, so that you would fear no evil, because he has given his own life on behalf of his own. You receive from his table even while hirelings try to betray you over to the wolf. Why would you fear or want anything? The goodness and mercy of the good shepherd are chasing you, for he is husband to the church. That's you. You all are members of the one church, and he is the one shepherd. And he will do everything in his power to protect his own bride. He has already done everything. And so the most important work that the good shepherd ever does, was to lay down his life for you and to rise from the dead, to give you his name and to feed you in his pastures. For sheep who are wandering out of an open pen deserve nothing but clear and imminent death that is coming to them, as good as dead without the Good Shepherd. But you are not dead, you are alive. For just as Christ was risen from the dead, you too are not dead, but alive. It is the very nature of God to have gut-wrenching pity for his own, to give you life here in time and there in eternity. Christ, the Good Shepherd, has given his life on behalf of his own sheep that you might have resurrection and eternal life. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.